Okay, good morning. Helps if it's the right way up, doesn't it? Right, okay, so we are continuing our journey of looking at worship beyond the Sunday service and how we implement worship in our everyday lives. So today we're going to be looking at how worshipping inspires our everyday speech. There are two elements to this, and we'll be looking at the fact that our words matter, but also how the words of our worship shape us to speak in the world. So we're going to be looking at two different parts of the book of James. So to start with, if you would like to, you can turn to James 3, and we'll be looking at verses 5 to 10 to look at why our words matter. So James 3, 5 to 10 says, "The tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and among all parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right." So our words matter. In the Bible Gateway commentary that I was reading, it states that James uses the strongest possible Greek to emphasize that he is absolutely incredulous that blessing and cursing can come from the same mouth. Cursing, of course, doesn't just mean swearing. How we speak, what we choose to say, and what we choose not to say all matter. Now, we are all human, and I'm telling you now I'm not perfect, as Kirk and my children will tell you. And for those of you who don't know, I work in a local school, and I manage the school nursery. So I'm responsible for rather a lot of 3 to 4 year olds. With all sorts of issues, and our patience is often worn very, very thin. We deal with all sorts of situations, as you can imagine. But part of our job is to model good language and model good social behaviour and to promote positive relationships. If I didn't do this, I would be out of a job very quickly. So, of course, I have to do it. But by the end of the day, when I get home at 5 o'clock and I'm presented with my own darling children who are inevitably arguing about something, and I need to quickly think of a dinner to cook and the things I need to get ready for the next day and the things that are happening that evening, and my husband comes home and wants to tell me all about his day, my tolerance are usually levels are quite low. And I'm not paid to be nice to my own children. Sorry. And then, on the other hand, on a Sunday, I'm singing in the worship team, or in today's case, talking to you about how we should speak. It's not an easy task. It's really difficult not to be hypocritical. And I have warned my family at the end that when we go home, please not to call me a hypocrite. So I'm not perfect. But we're human, and our words matter. And we do need to try to not be hypocritical. So I need to go home and literally practice what I preach. Lisa gave me a really good example when I was talking to her yesterday about when she was parking her car and a man came over to her and was quite rude and unhelpful. And she went to react and then realised that she had her NHS lanyard on because she was on her way to a meeting. And she realised that she had to check herself before she responded, because with her lanyard on, she was representing the NHS in the community at that particular moment. And she said to me, "It made me realise that I should remember that I'm always representing God in our community, and I need to imagine that I'm wearing a God lanyard." So it's hypocritical of us as Christians to speak God's praise in church and yet spend the week insulting and ridiculing people. And this is something that I know is quite obvious, and often actually we can be quite aware of that during the week. But what about when we're talking about our fellow brothers and sisters in church? The commentary I was reading says, "How often do Christians sing praise to the Lord, the Almighty, and then leave the worship service with angry complaints about others with whom they have worshipped?" If we choose to speak negatively in a jealous, bitter, or critical way, it's the same as cursing, no matter who it is about. And it's not just our words, it's our tone that matters too. I was at work one day and I walked into the staff room where a conversation was taking place. And they were talking about some staff relationships. They were talking about how there are some members of staff who don't seem to get on with many people and they don't work well with others. And one lady turned to me and said, "But of course you get on with everyone, don't you?" I thought, "Oh, okay." Now her tone told me clearly that that was an insult. I'm not perfect and I shan't tell you what I thought of that particular person at that particular moment in my head, but my response was, "Well, I try to. I would like to think that my attempt to be polite and friendly towards my work colleagues was a positive, but her tone told me that she didn't. I don't know why. I don't know if she was jealous, if she thought I had an ulterior motive. Whatever it was, she didn't like it. But she could have said exactly the same words in a completely different tone. She could have said, "Oh, it's great, you get on with everybody, don't you?" And that completely transforms the whole sentence. If she'd said it like that, I would have felt encouraged rather than insulted. Thumper in Bambi, who famously says, "If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all." And to some degree, that is true. It's what we teach our children. But what we choose not to say can be just as bad as not being as nice as we should, I think. If we choose not to speak encouragement, forgiveness, hope, and blessing, that's just as bad. It's the same as cursing. Sometimes we do manage to control ourselves, and we manage not to say something that we shouldn't to someone. But there are times when perhaps we could say something encouraging to someone and we decide not to. Maybe it's because it grates us that they've done something great and we haven't. Maybe it's because we don't really like them. Maybe what they did wasn't to our personal taste, and yet what they said or did was brave or out of their comfort zone or of service in some way. So it's important to use our speech to boost and encourage. So James tells us that we have purity of speech if our faith is genuine. So the alternative James gives us to cursing is praying. And in chapter 5, verses 13 to 18, he gives instructions on when, how, and why we should pray. So I'm going to read that to you now. That was chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. "Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops." So how does this connect with our worship? And how does this affect how we speak when we're in the world? If we're taking time to worship and to pray to God, we're connecting with him, we're being filled with his Holy Spirit. So whilst we're here on a Sunday worshipping, we're relearning what it is that what God wants for us and how we can glorify him. He wants us to enable others to know him, and the words of our worship should be shaping how we speak in the world. God wants us to pay attention to our speech as our speech reveals what's truly in our hearts. Proverbs 15:28 says, "The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words." And Luke 6:45 says, "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart." If we spread gossip, we won't be trusted. If we constantly insult people, we won't be followed. Gossiping, lying, and being critical does not glorify God. And if God is at the centre of our hearts, then we also have the power to change other people's hearts with our own words. So when then do we worship and pray? James tells us, when we are in trouble, when we are happy, and when we are sick, in all seasons of life. It's really easy to feel deflated, to feel negative, to feel powerless. And so it becomes really easy to moan. But when we moan, we say things that are unkind and they're ungracious, and it becomes a vicious circle, and it's one that certainly does not glorify God. God knows all about our situations, and he responds to our prayers. So how we then behave outside of church reflects God's work in our lives and draws people towards him. If something goes well at work, we can thank him instead of taking all the credit for ourselves. If we're saddened by something on the news, we don't have to despair, but we can pray for God's mercy. And when we're feeling powerless, we don't just give up, but we can pray for the Spirit to fill us again. So when we worship together, we're praying for each other, we rejoice, we confess our sins, and we use our words to support each other. So our worship can then inspire us to speak God's glory in everyday life, making a difference not only to our own lives, but those of whom we meet too. If we use our words correctly, we can be part of incredible change. But do we have the courage to do this? James gives the example of Elijah. He prayed for the rains to stop, and God listened, and it stopped. And when he prayed for it to start again, the rains fell. Elijah was human, just like us. He was imperfect, but God heard his prayers, and he answered them and acted on them with incredible results. So our challenge is to not only consider the words we speak and how we speak them, remembering to wear our imaginary God lanyards, but also do we need to take more risks with our words in church and outside of church? Do we need to learn to pray more boldly and speak up for God's kingdom? And what might God do if we did? So we're just going to watch the video.
Forgive us, Lord, for the words we speak that cause fear, exclude others, twist the truth, diminish, divide, and destroy. Words that roar, words that clang like cymbals but bring no clarity, words that make us sound powerful but are void of love. Teach us your words of healing and hope, thankfulness and grace, justice and truth, wisdom and love, forgiveness and blessing. Let our words be your words. Touch our mouths with your coal and purify our speech. Teach us a new language when we are gathered. When we are scattered, let our language breathe heaven into the lives of those we meet.
Pray. So I'm going to use this because my page is... Sorry. One page. As James wrote to the early church, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Lord, we think about our own troubles and the troubles in the world around us. We speak peace to conflict situations. We speak wholeness into broken lives. We speak abundance into places of famine and drought. Help us to remember, Lord, that our words are powerful. James also wrote, is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Lord, we thank you for the blessings in our own lives and for your provision across the world. May our gratitude turn to words of worship to you whenever we find ourselves. Help us to remember, Lord, that our words are powerful. James encouraged his churches, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them. We pray healing for those in the church who are ill. Make us bold to pray for people we meet in our everyday lives. And please give us grace and peace for situations where our prayers are not answered the way we immediately expect. Help us, Lord, to remember that our words are powerful." Amen.